the opportunity that we have tonight to worship you. We pray that our minds will be focused on your word and on spiritual things. And we're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the safe arrival of our good brother Bob. And we are thankful for the good work that he did on yesterday, the three lessons that he delivered. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll continue to be with him, that he'll keep his strength up during the course of this entire week. We appreciate all the work that he does in the kingdom. We know that he has been a servant of yours for many, many years, and we are edified by all the work that he does. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to be with his good wife, Charlotte. And we're thankful for her and the support that she has given to him over the years, and that they have served you faithfully, individually and as a couple, and we are so thankful for them, their good reputation. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless this local church. Help us to continue to be the kind of local church that you would have us to be sound in the faith, even as our good brother encouraged us to be on last night. We pray that we'll make application of that we'll continue to preach only the gospel of Christ, and that we'll continue to worship you in a way that is pleasing to you. We're thankful for the good elders that we have here that help us to stay on course. We pray that you will bless them and that you'll be with them with regard to their health as well and be with their families. We pray that if there is anyone here tonight who is outside of the body of Christ, who haven't obeyed the gospel, we pray, Heavenly Father, that your strong word will prick their hearts. We pray that we'll always give you the honor and the praise that you deserve, that we'll always give you the reverence that you deserve, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll do so in every area of our life. Be with us now as we continue in this service. Be with Bob as he preaches to us. Help us to pay close attention to the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Song before the lesson will be number 636, and we will sing all four verses of the song and then the chorus only.
It is a wonderful evening to praise and worship God, and we're so thankful for this good number that have come tonight. Already I've noticed several visitors in the audience. I have recognized some of you, and I know that I've missed some. And so I look forward to greeting you personally and renewing our acquaintance after the lesson is over tonight. We thank everyone who has come. I'm thankful so much for the dear support that I receive from Brown Street and the members that are here, all of the folks that we've known through the years and the new people that are here. We love you and appreciate you, and Charlotte and I give our thanks to you for the kind way that you've received us and are treating us this week. It's wonderful to have visitors joining us, and tonight I hope that all of us can consider how God cares for us, especially those of us that belong to Him. Sometime around the beginning of this century, a well-known atheist and author was reported to have said that the mission of the 20th century would be to discover God. And he said when God should be discovered, men on earth would find that he does not care. He said it would be bitter sorrow for the world to find it out. It would bring the darkness of despair, he wrote. That atheist died recently, and I could not help but wonder when I read of his passing. I wondered what he felt when he drew his last breath. I realize that there are many people in the world today who share that unbelieving notion that he expressed, and perhaps that is one of the reasons why there's so much darkness and despair in the world all around us today. But the secret of hope in believing hearts almost everywhere is that God does care. He cared for all mankind everywhere because the Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, that's the amazing thing. I'm speaking with you tonight and thinking with you tonight about how God cares for His own. And we'll be thinking primarily tonight about how God cares about us as His people, those who belong to Him. But, you know, you cannot escape the truth that is found in John 3:16, that God cares and loves even those that are not His people, because that's why He sent His Son to give His life, so that people might not perish but have eternal life. This is the one great truth that God has been preparing for man through all generations. It is what He wants all of us to believe. It is the gospel story of redemption. The evidence of God's loving care is on every page of His Word, both Old and New Testament. When God sent Jesus to the earth, our Lord said that God's concern is for all that He created. Jesus Himself made this clear. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Matthew 6:26. He tells us the Father cares and provides for all mankind, saying, He makes His Son rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Matthew 5, verse 45. Everyone who lives on the earth with God has eternal significance. I think those of us that belong to Him may sometimes forget that. We know that God especially loves and cares for His own. But truly, the Bible shows that God cares for every soul, whether saved or lost. God would have them to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But just like all of us have special love and concern for our own family, I believe we could say tonight that God especially loves and cares for His own. The Old Testament is filled with stories that illustrate this great truth. In the very first family, a great crime was committed. A brother slew his own brother. God truly cared about faithful Abel, a woman who was a servant to a great man and woman. You remember Abraham and Sarah. And a woman who was a servant in their house became distraught. She was mistreated. No doubt she was mistreated by her mistress, and she ran away. And when she ran away into the wilderness, she faced certain death for not only herself, but for her son. But the Lord sent an angel with a promise of hope and life for her and for Ishmael. And so Hagar called the name of the Lord, and she called God, "Thou art a God who sees." Yes, God not only sees us, but He truly cares for each of us. God cared so much about Abraham and Lot, his nephew, that He sent His angels to rescue Lot and his family from the wicked Sodom that would be destroyed. God never turned His eyes away from Joseph through his long ordeal in Egypt. Even through his captivity and imprisonment in Egypt, God blessed him and raised him to prominence. He provided for his descendants in Egypt until it was time to bring them out of that bondage into the land of promise. God saw and cared for young David whenever he had hidden in a cave from King Saul, who was seeking to kill him. The amazing thing is that while he was in that cave, thinking that he was safe, King Saul entered in and fell asleep at the entrance of that cave. David could not escape because he was a prisoner in the cave while Saul and his army were outside. So David cut off a piece of Saul's garment. And then later, when Saul left the cave, he was able to show that garment and hold it up so that Saul and his army could see that David was not willing to lift up his hand against God's anointed one. David would soon realize that God cared for him, and He would always save him from danger as long as he trusted in the Lord. Now, all of these stories and many more remind us of how God and loves and and cares for every faithful one who trusts in Him. Jesus tells us, if God clothes the grass and the lovely lilies of the field, if He cares for the birds of the air, if He notes the fall of one tiny sparrow, if He cares enough to know the very number of the hairs on our head, it surely indicates just how much He cares about the well-being of each of His children. The Bible gives us several word pictures of how God cares for His own. I'd like to take the next few minutes to remind you of these expressions found in the Old and New Testament that give us pictures that we can see in our mind and understand and appreciate about how God cares for His own people. The Bible says that God cares for us as a father pities his children. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are as dust. For as for a man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those that fear Him. His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. Psalm 103, verses 13 through 18. I don't believe there's anything that can exceed the pity and concern of a loving father or a mother for his or her children, especially when they're in pain or they're suffering. It is when the most tender and purest emotions of the heart are stirred. In the same way, God cares and desires to comfort us. He pities us because He knows how weak we are and how sinful we are. Pity is sympathy for someone on account of weakness or suffering or calamity. And God feels pity for us on account of our human weakness, even though many times we often bring these afflictions on ourselves. He pities us. He knows our human helplessness. He knows our earthly struggles. And when the day is hard and the heart is weak, we have the assurance of His loving concern. Our Heavenly Father is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Paul writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Lord shows His mercy, and the Bible says His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Another picture that we have in the Bible tells us that God cares for His own as a mother comforts her child. The Bible says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 66:13. God said this to His people. He is like the great father and mother of us all. He is a God of tender, loving care. This is certainly an image that we each carry. We carry that image of a mother who lovingly cared for us when we were unable to care for ourselves. I've talked with people who remember so many things about the time when they were just an infant or they were just a few years old. But I can't say that I have that many memories. I can only remember one. And I'm not sure how old I was, maybe two at the most. But I remember I was sick. I was congested one night, and Mother heard me coughing in my crib and came and picked me up and carried me to the kitchen where we lived. And she set me on the counter of that kitchen. And then all of a sudden, my mother fainted on the floor. I don't remember, but my dad told me I cried out, and that's when he came in and picked my mother up and revived her and then picked me up and carried me back to my crib. That's the only memory that I have that early of my mother. I've seen my wife tenderly care for our two boys when they were sick. I remember carrying them when Stephen couldn't breathe, it seemed, and we tried to help him catch a breath, and We doctored him as best we could until we could see the doctor the next day. How tenderly a mother cares for her own children. A mother held us in her loving arms and nourished us and cared for our every need. I hope you have a picture of that, because it's how our God loves us. Our loving God puts his arms around his children, always desiring to protect them if they will allow it, protecting them from every danger and from every harm. God is a comforter. As a father, he directs us, and like a mother, he consoles us. Like a mother comforts her child, the Bible says, so God comforts us. The Bible gives us a picture of an eagle caring for those of his nest. For the Lord's portion is his people. He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up his nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, so the Lord alone led him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth. What a beautiful figurative expression of how God cares for his own people, how he wanted to help them, how he was there to lead them and guide them and stir them up in order for them to do right. God's treatment of his people is compared to an eagle towards its young. The eagle has been seen and photographed, teaching the young eaglets, guarding and always protecting them with great care. No one dare climb up to try to take away a young one from an eagle's nest. When they reach the time for them to learn to fly, the eagle excites them. He excites the young ones by stirring up the nest and hovering over them as if to say, do what I am doing. Follow me. Follow my lead. And he or she, depending upon whether it's the male eagle or the female, encourages them to leave the nest and find their way eventually into the sky. In much the same way, God lovingly teaches us through his word. He helps us to understand it. He rouses us to action, calling upon us to use the power that he's placed within us until we're able to go forth into his strength and fly and search for that strength to continue as we follow him in his word. The Bible says, as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so God cares for his people. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Speaking of God's people, Israel, Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 5. You know, the Old Testament people were said to be figuratively married to God. That's the kind of language we find in the Old Testament. And I still remember the shock that I had when I saw Charlotte come out the night that we were married. She was so beautiful. And it took my breath away. And I began to rejoice because I was to be her husband. And we were to begin our married life together. And so the Bible says that's the way a bridegroom rejoices over the bride. We can recognize how that's spoken of in the Word of God. In the New Testament, God's people, the church, are represented as the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5:25 tells us how Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. It tells us how he rejoices that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish before him in love. The Lord loves the church because the Bible says we are the members of his body. Another beautiful picture of God's love and care for his people is found in the New Testament, an expression that Jesus, our Savior, used. And I believe what Jesus would say is certainly what God would feel about his people as well. Jesus felt as a hen gathers her chickens under her wing. Jesus felt that way about the city of Jerusalem when he cried out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Matthew 23, verse 37. Many of you, no doubt, like Charlotte and I, have at some time raised chickens. And we've often viewed this touching scene of a mother hen. And when danger threatens, this hen will call for her little ones. Her little chicks will go running and she will spread her wings over them for protection. Years ago, I read in a National Geographic about one of the terrible fires out in California. It seems like those fires come almost every year now, destroying so much property and even destroying homes where people have lived. And so many lose so much because of those fires. But in this story in National Geographic, it was about a forest ranger who followed up after the fire and went through that area, making certain that the little fires and the burning embers were put out. When he came upon a wild hen, and she had just been completely consumed by the fire, so that when he touched her, her feathers and what was left of her fell away, leaving just the bones of that hen. And there, under those bones, four little tiny chicks were still alive. They were alive because that mother protected them in the time of great danger. How great for us is the protection and salvation of our God and our dear Savior. He came to this earth to seek and to save us from our sins. And fortunate indeed we have been because we heard His cry and we have come to Him and been sheltered and been saved because He was willing to do that. The Bible speaks about a shepherd that seeks out his flock. And that's how God loves His people today. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. Isn't it true that we are scattered many times, that we go astray, that we are lost, that we go in the wrong direction, that we are afraid and fearful for our lives because we're so far from our shepherd? But this shepherd looks for us. He says, I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back that which was driven away. I will bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. Believe it or not, this is an Old Testament passage. It reads like a New Testament passage. Ezekiel 34, verses 12 through 16. And this is how the voice of God spoke to His Old Testament people, and clearly did prophesy of coming deliverance that we would receive through His Son. He also spoke in much the same way through His own Son, Jesus. Christ spoke a parable in Luke 15 of a loving shepherd who cared so much for one lost sheep that he left the rest of the flock behind so that he could go and search and find and lovingly return with that one lost sheep tenderly laid upon his shoulders. Our Heavenly Father and His Son both care and love for any one of the flock that may wander off or go astray. He pictures the care of a shepherd, as he says, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. You know, my friends, all of us have been lost at one time or another. And the Lord found us. Maybe we were seeking Him, or maybe we had help from someone who wanted us to seek Him. But what it really says to me is that we should be very kind and understanding and patient with those that go astray and who are lost. Because this passage says that God loves the lost and He seeks the lost and He brings them tenderly back. And that's what we all should be seeking to do. Our Lord would identify Himself by saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that, my dear friends, is how much our Father and Son love you and me. That's how much they love and care for each of us. They love and they seek for those that have gone astray. For you were like sheep going astray, Peter said, but now you have returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. 1 Peter 2 and verse 23. Well, as I conclude my lesson tonight, I want you to think about David again. And like David once despaired and said, no one cares for my soul. There are many people that think and say that same thing today. I believe today many people find our present world a very cold and uncaring place. Our world can be a terribly strange and foreboding place for many people today. Our heavily populated earth, our crowded cities, our depersonalized society, I think, is often viewed in the very same light as David's voiced despair. No man cared for my soul. I don't know how many times I've met people like that who thought that we did not care, that no one could care for them. And in our fast-paced world, everyone seems to be going their own separate ways. Many people live sad and lonely lives today, and at times, no one seems to care about them. Most seem to look out and only care for themselves today. Selfish unconcern and strife and anger and resentment and human betrayal often seem to be the manner of our heartless world. Who cares? We do. We want you to know that tonight. We care. God does. And Jesus cares. And that's the message the Bible has for each of us. The Lord's people care. We are interested in you and helping you if we can. We care about your problems because we're a part of the family of God and Christ. We care what happens to you. We care what you're facing. And as much as we possibly can, we would help if it's possible for us to do so. We care about sharing the good news of the kingdom. We care about your soul. We care about your eternal destiny today. We know that God has all the answers. We know that Jesus is the way. We know that He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by me. We want you to know we care so much. We want everyone to know that Jesus is the way of salvation. He is the only way that we can be saved. Tonight we would share that chart of salvation that is according to the gospel plan, whereby men and women and boys and girls of accountable age may be redeemed from their sins. It provides the way whereby we might learn of Jesus, that we might come to a knowledge of Him. We might come to understand that He was the Son of God, that we might be able to acknowledge that we might be able to show that by our obedience to the gospel of Christ and be born anew, that we might become a child of God. The Lord can take away your burden of sin, and He alone can give rest to your soul. Just recently, I read of two very sad stories. A young preacher in Colorado recently learned that his wife and baby daughter will now face death of the AIDS virus. The mother accidentally received a contaminated blood transfusion just before her delivery date. And when this young preacher, learned of this, he called an older preacher that he knew and trusted, and he shared the sad news. And then in his grief, he asked, how can I now talk to my congregation about the love of God? How can I talk about the love of God? In another true story I read just recently, a blind man called on a public telephone and weeping asked another preacher, an older man, to pray for him. He said several weeks before he had taken a young recovering drug addict into his home. He had pity upon him. He loved him and he cared about him and he wanted to try to save him. And he took him into his home. He said he felt now like God was punishing him for trying to help others, because he had just found out that this young man had run away with his own wife. And as he talked to that older preacher on the phone, he wanted to know, where was God when he let that happen? You know, stories like these seem to destroy the faith of many people who suffer loss. I have learned through the past few years not to even try to answer questions like those. Why did God do this? Why did God allow that? Where was God when this happened to me or to mine? Why did the young preacher's wife get tainted blood? Why did the blind man's wife run off with a drug addict? Why does a tornado skip over one town in Oklahoma and then come down and destroy another town? Why do we have another school shooting? Why do all these bad things seem to happen? You know, none of us can really supply the answer. None of us can really understand when these things happen, it seems. The only answer I can find in the Word of God, believe me, I've searched. The only answer I can find is that we live in a wicked and sinful world. And all that we suffer in this world, in this life, is a result of sinful man. If you want to blame someone, blame sinful man. Blame yourself. Blame Adam and Eve. Blame the effect that sin has had upon our world and what we lost because of the original pair. But don't blame God for what sinful men have done to cause the suffering in our world today. So when people ask me, where was God when this happened? Why didn't God care about us when we suffered this? I always try to remember to say, God was in the same place when His own Son died upon the cross. And that's what we need to remember, that God is in the same place today when people suffer, whenever loss occurs, when sinful consequences begin to have their effect upon our lives. God is in the same place that He was when His Son died on the cross for you and me. But I know this, there's one question that no longer plagues me, and that is, does God care for His own? I know only one answer for that. The only way to answer that question is for me, and it's decisive, and that is that God was there when His Son died, and God saw what happened to His Son. God saw what wicked and sinful men did to His own Son when He gave His life freely on Calvary. God had to turn His back, I believe. Preachers argue about it. Recently, I've heard a debate between two preachers about whether or not God actually did forsake His Son when He died upon the cross. But I know that Jesus said those words, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And someone says it's because David said that. And so Jesus had to say that in order to fulfill the prophecy. But I cannot accept that. I cannot accept that because I believe that Jesus never said an untruthful thing in His whole life. He never told a lie. He never misrepresented things as they really were. I believe He was forsaken, and He had to be forsaken because God cannot have fellowship with sin. And when Jesus took our sins, when He bore our sins on Calvary's tree, the Lord had to turn away, just as any father would have to turn away when he would see his son or daughter or child mistreated in any way. God knew what He had to do. He knew what He required of His Son. And you know, God doesn't have to answer our questions about pain and sorrow and loss and death. And that is because I know He knows how those things are. Because His own Son died and gave His life so that God's plan could save us today. Are you outside of the Lord? Have you wandered away from Jesus Christ? Have you started down the pathway of life? Have you started on your journey as a child of God, but you've grown discontent? You've grown somehow upset about the things that have happened in your life? Or perhaps you've just grown weary of doing good. Maybe you're tired of some of the people of God and the way they act, the way we treat one another at times. Maybe you've got some good reason for not being as strong and faithful as you've been. But please don't blame God. And please don't wonder about God's love, because God cares for His own. And tonight he cares for you if you're separated from him. He wants you back. He wants you to come back to the cross. He wants you to come back to the Savior. He wants you to come back to your sanity. He wants you to come back to service. He wants to save you. And all of these things that we've studied about tonight show you that he cares. He cares about his own people. He loves them. They belong to him. No matter how terribly we behave, no matter how far we may get from him, no matter what our sins might have been, he loves us and he cares for us. But as John 3:16 reminds me, it's not just us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we want you to know he loves you. And he gave his son for you just as he gave him for us. And he would have you to be one of his children. If we can help you tonight to become a child of God, we hope you'll grasp the opportunity to acknowledge your faith in Christ and be saved from your sins. How happy we'll be to help you to do that if you'd come while we stand, while we sing.